Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, who in his first advent took on our flesh, paid the price for our sin that we could not pay, and offered himself for the forgiveness that brings us life. Father, we look with hope toward the second advent of your Son, Jesus Christ, when he will return and restore all things the way that you intended them to be when you created us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let me share with you a little story about a little two-year-old kid named Joey, who is in his father's den. His dad is stressed out. He's a dad, he's a husband, he has a full-time job, and he's taking some night classes, and he's trying to get some assignments done, and he's had a couple of them that were late because of family responsibilities, and he's pushing toward the end of this paper, but little Joey looks at him and says, "Daddy, daddy, 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 will you tell me a story?" And he goes, "Oh, man, how long can I put this paper off?" But then again, how long is he going to be two? It's not very long. They grow up so fast, I'm telling you. So he said, "Okay, son, sit on my lap." So little Joey sits on his lap and he goes, "Daddy, tell me a story about a bunny rabbit and a truck." And he goes, "Okay, bunny rabbit and a truck." So he starts spinning this story about this fun-loving, adventurous bunny rabbit that gets this truck and he grows all over the place, has all kinds of adventures and thrills. And the dad decides to introduce the bad guy. You know, every story's got to have a bad guy, right? And so his dad decided that he would keep it simple for his son. So the bad guy's always the big bad wolf. So he says, "And then as he was driving through Yosemite, the wolf..." And little Joy stopped him right there and said, "No wolf, Daddy." He goes, "But son, there's always got to be that. You know how the story ends. They live happily ever after. The wolf is always defeated." He put his hand up to his dad's mouth and said, "Daddy, no wolf." Wouldn't it be great if we could just do that? No evil. No evil in this world. No evil in my heart. No evil in the hearts of other people. God, just take it away. But the problem we have with that is God created us perfect in his image and his likeness. God created us to live with him in perfect fellowship. There was no death, but we rebelled against God. And because we rebelled against God, sin and death entered into the world. And because of that, we have the sinful nature that we inherit from our original Adam. Oh, in our waters of our baptism and in the hearing of the word, the Holy Spirit comes too. So we have our sinful flesh and we have the Spirit of God. The odd couple living together. Like the old cartoon with the bad guy on one shoulder and the angel on the other, the devil on one shoulder and the angel trying to talk you into doing something or another. They're always countering each other. That's not too far from the truth. It is like that. And the one that's going to win out that argument is the one that you feed the most, the one that you spend time developing a relationship with. And that's what this is all about. This is not really your typical kumbaya Christmas story, is it? Their nations are trembling in terror. People are dropping to the ground and fainting in anxiety. It's not really what you expected to hear on the first Sunday of Advent. We want to hear little Mary, gentle Mary, holding her baby that came. And we'll get to that. But you got to know that when Jesus was first born in Bethlehem, he didn't come into a perfect world. There was evil. Herod was an evil person. The things that are going on in this world right now, they might be new, and as far as the new technology we have in destroying people, new hydrogen bombs, nuclear bombs, all these other things, but they were evil all the time. Herod was so evil, who was the king in that area, that after Jesus was born and they moved to Egypt, he had all the boys of a certain age, 2 to 3 years old, killed because he was afraid that the king of the Jews was born. Evil has always, always been around. It's part of our everyday life. We are very familiar with the wolf. But Jesus is going to come back. Can I get an amen? Jesus is going to come back and he's going to reconcile the world to the way it was originally. Can I get a hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
I mean, say it like you mean it.
Hallelujah.
He's coming back to make the world like it used to be, where there will be no more wolves. The lion will lay down with the lamb. The baby will lay in the cobra's nest. Everything's going to be at peace again, the way that God intended it to be. But until that time happens, we have all of these events that are going on. So when is Jesus coming back? Let me get my pen out. I want to write this down. What's the date? Nobody? You want to consult your Bible? We'll be here for a while because it's not in there, folks. It's not in there. In fact, Jesus was very clear about it. Jesus said, no one knows the time of my return. Not even me, but only my Father in heaven. Well, why is it then that people insist on saying that they have an inside track? They publish books and every single one of them, that date has come and gone and no Jesus. Why? Well, that's a very important question, I think. And the answer is even more important. I think this is the answer. I think the answer is, it's human nature. Since we were created in the image and likeness of God, since we were created without death, since we were created without sin, there was no evil in the world, it's in our DNA to long for those Garden of Eden days that have long since passed. But there is some kind of shadow in our minds that makes us think of this perfection, and we want to return to that. We want to get out of this evil and come back to a time when we can walk in the garden with our Lord and there's no evil. We want to do that. And I think there's a couple stories in the Old Testament that kind of inform that journey. And they're called the Exile and the Exodus. Let's look at the first one. Let's look at the Exodus. The Exodus is a story about being somewhere where you don't want to be, but hoping to get to a place that's better. The exile is when life arranges itself so that we're in a captivity, alienated from the land that we, from the life that we used to have. We had the good life, but it was taken away from us. So how does that work out to all of this? How does that work out for our longing and our hopes? In the Exodus, and some people are like this today, they feel that life has never given them a fair shake. They're somewhere where they think there's a better life, but somehow they are not getting it. I mean, look at the situation in the world today. There are people all over the world migrating from a place where they don't want to be to a place they want to be. The Exodus is going on all around us. It happens all the time. It never stops. They're hoping for a better place because that's what it's all about. Deep inside of us, it resonates that there is a better life somewhere. I just have to find it. And then there's the exile, where I had a great life, but now it's been taken away from me. Life used to be great, but now I've lost the use of my legs. Life used to be great, but now I've lost my parents. Now, life used to be great. You can fill in the blank yourself, right? Life used to be great, but, and it's that longing, it's that hope that somehow, some way, something or some event is going to bring that good life back to us. And the Jewish scriptures also offer the solution to that. And the solution is that is the Messiah, is Jesus Christ. He is the answer. He was the one that's going to be at the end of our exodus. When we leave that land of bondage and move into the land flowing with milk and honey, the promised land. When we are taken to captivity and we're freed and we receive not only the good life that we used to know, but a life that is far better than anything we could ever possibly have imagined. Christ is that Messiah. And he was here. He came on that first Christmas day, humbly, born as a babe. He grew up. He went through all of the things that we go through. He was tempted in every way we were. He had acne. He had BO. He was fully a man. Fully a man. He lived the life that we couldn't live because he was also fully God. So he was perfect. Because if Jesus would have committed one single sin, and it's important that we get this because we're going to be looking at the judgment that comes along with Jesus' second coming. If he would have committed one single sin, his death would have been payment for that sin. When Jesus died on the cross, one of the things that he said was, "It is finished." Now, the Greek word for that is tetelestai. Tetelestai is a word that not only means it's over with, but it's like if you would buy a car on a 48-month payment plan and you finally reach that 48th payment, they would stamp on that book tetelestai, paid in full. Our sin has been paid in full. Can I get a hallelujah about that?
Hallelujah.
You guys are still with me. Praise Jesus. That's great. So he paid for our sin in full because he was the sinless Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. So now Jesus is coming back. And there's a kind of a confusing thing in here where it in our Bible reading where it says, "I tell you the truth, this generation will not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away." So what is that all about? I think I understand it this way. Let me explain the way I understand it and see if that resonates with you. There's two kind of generations. Excuse me just a minute. There's two kind of generations going on here. There's a drinking fountain behind this Christmas tree. There's two kind of generations going on here. There's one of the world and one of the Word. Do you know the difference? The world is apart from the Word, and the Word is included in the world, but yet not a full part of it. You got it? So this world will face judgment, and it will pass away. But the people of the Word that are in this world, they will never pass away because Jesus' word will never end. Are you following me here? Is that making sense to you, or is it only me that's making sense to? It's important that we grab this concept because there's going to be a judgment. And you know what the criteria is? This is a pass and fail test. It's a pass and fail test, but the criteria is perfection. If they can point out one single sin that you've done apart from Christ, guess what? Guilty. You're guilty. You're judged. And what is judgment? Separation from God forever. What about those who are in Christ? Now, this is important that we really grab a hold of this. Let me give you a picture of a court scene. Here you are in court. You've been a Christian. You've accepted Christ. You go to him regularly for confession and absolution. You remember the old Fram oil commercial that said, "Pay me now or pay me later"? For those of us that are Christians and we confess our sins on a regular basis, we confess that Christ is the Lord, we have already made that payment. Now we get to receive his payment. For those of us who have lived our lives like there is no God, we'll pay that later. Because there is going to come a time, people of God, where every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Whether you believe him on this earth or not, it's going to happen. God said it will. So here's the court scene. You're sitting in court, and there's the father is up here at the judge. Here's the devil over here. He's the prosecutor, and he's got all kinds of evidence. He's got a whiteboard full of stuff. He's got screens. He's got all these presentations, all of these things he had done. And sitting at the defense table is Jesus. And he's just kind of like checking his fingernails out. And the devil's going on and on and on. He's just sitting there. And finally, it gets time for your turn. Jesus stands up, puts his hand on your shoulder and says, "Just sit there and be quiet. Don't say a single word. I got this." And he says to the father, to the judge, "God, all the things that the devil just said there are true." And you're like, "Whoa, how much am I paying for this defense attorney?" Because all these things that he said are true. But when I died on the cross, I paid for that. And to hold him responsible again is double jeopardy. So God says, case dismissed. That's how it is. But if we don't have Christ, all of those things are going to stick. So when Jesus comes again with power and glory, he is going to judge us by perfection. And if there's no, any perfect people here? Perfect? No? Not even Mary Poppins is perfect. Mary Poppins is practically perfect in every way, but no one is perfect except for Christ. He is the only perfect one. For those who are covered with the blood of Christ, will be able to, when all these things are happening, we'll be able to stand firm. That's the hope of this thing. These things are going to happen to the whole world, to believers or non-believers. There's no exemption from it. We're all in this world together. We're all stuck in this thing together. Now, can we make a difference in the world? Yes. The kingdom of God is going to come, but the kingdom of God has also come already. The kingdom of God has come through your acceptance of Christ, the way that you live your life out into the world. We've got 3 stacks of ponchos we're going to be blessing later on in our church that we're sending out to a homeless shelter, people that need warmth. We're making a difference in the world. You know, I had a guy that once said, you know, Dave, I can't believe in a God that would allow so many starving people. And I said, well, you know what? I can't believe in a people that would be so greedy as they would not share God's abundance blessings on this earth with people in need. That's where the fault lays out. You know, God has provided enough food for every single one here on this earth to have plenty to eat. But guess what? We're greedy. I'm greedy. We're greedy. We hoard it for ourselves. God wants us to share. God wants us to be about what our neighbor's business is. God wants us to take care of one another. That's how the kingdom comes. The kingdom comes when we put God in the center of our lives and then love others like we love ourselves. So we who have accepted Christ, who are in his kingdom now, when we see all of these things happening, we can stand firm because the words of Jesus resonate with us. He says, lift up your heads because your redemption is drawing near. That's what we celebrate this Advent Sunday. And may the peace of God that surpasses all human understanding guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.